This morning, open up to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hopefully that's all of our goals, is to be like Jesus. That's what we should always be striving to, is become more and more like Him. It's what the Bible speaks of and talks about in sanctification and becoming more like Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to be looking at a father in the Bible. It being Father's Day, the message is not just for fathers, it's for everyone, but there's a special interest in there for fathers, I believe. And the title of this morning's message is, as we've been going through difference makers, our difference maker this morning is Abraham. I know that the kids like to sing that song, Father Abraham. He's the father of the nation of Israel. And here we're going to look at this morning in the idea of Abraham made a difference because he was a man of faith. Abraham made a difference because he was a man of faith. And we got that up there as to be a constant reminder. Also, those verses are going to help us in just a minute as we tell the story of Abraham. And the story of Abraham's life. We're not going to look at just one particular moment in Abraham's life, even though there's plenty that we could look at and spend a lot of time teaching and talking about. But instead, we're going to look at his life in some different areas as a capsule to help us understand how God was able to use Abraham and make a difference in the world that we live in because he was a man of faith. This morning here in Hebrews chapter number 11, let's look at verses 8 through 19. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8, the Word of God says, you notice where it starts off, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verses number 11 and 12 refer to Sarah in this story. And we're not going to speak much about Sarah, but I want you to notice that Sarah was right there, right by her side. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in that Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now I want you to see here in verse number 9, it says, by faith. In verse number 8, it says, by faith. In verse number 17, it talked about by faith. It talked about how Abraham was a man of faith. And I honestly believe in the world that we live in today, if we truly want to make a difference, we must live by faith. You say, well, what is faith? Well, if you go back to Hebrews chapter number 11 and look in verse number 1, we have a biblical definition of what faith is. Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What it's referring to is that our faith rests on a foundation. Our faith is based on God. One preacher put it this way, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present, and the invisible as seen. Our faith is to rest upon God. And you can try to get to God different ways, but there's only one way that God accepts, and that's through faith. See, there's two different ways men try to get to God. First, they try to get to God through works. And as they try to get to God through works, they had to live a perfect life and have no sin and enter into God's paradise by being perfect. But as all of us know, the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God. And if we want to get to God, the only way we come to God is through faith. The Bible says in Romans 4:3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Faith is just saying that I believe in God and what God's word says. And this morning, as we examine this man's life, I want to give you this thought. Abraham made a difference because he was a man of faith. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house today. Lord, I pray that you just speak to people's hearts today. Lord, if there's someone here today that's unsaved, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you through the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray you encourage those that are saved and those that are believers about being men and women and boys and girls of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, to be honest with you, every day we express faith. Now, hopefully every day we express faith in God and how we live our lives. Hopefully through our visual and through our deeds and through our actions and through our words, we are living a life that expresses a faith in a God that we've never seen. But we express faith in many different ways. Think about it. You express faith in the pharmacist when you partake of a prescription. You profess faith in an airplane or in the pilot when you go flying in an airplane. You know what? You even profess faith, and sometimes I'm leery of professing this faith, in a fast food worker when you eat the food at a fast food restaurant. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easier not to look in the back to see who's making your food. But you need to be careful who you put your faith in. When you sat in that pew, when you sat down, most of you didn't put your hand down to see if it was going to hold you. You trusted it. You professed faith in the pew by sitting in it. And I want to encourage you today that every day, in some ways, shapes, or form, we profess faith in different things. But what God is pleased with, the Bible says the only way that we can please God is by having faith and living a life of faith. And Abraham, in his story, was a man of faith. First thing, I want you to see what Abraham's faith did. First thing, Abraham's faith made him obedient. Abraham's faith made him obedient. In verses 8 through 10, we have the story of when Abraham was called. In verse number 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he received should receive afterward for an inheritance. You know, that word called is giving a reference here that God himself came to Abraham and invited him on a faith of journey, a journey of faith. He was saying, look, Abraham, I know that you're here, and it's in a place called the Ur of Chaldees, and this was a great, great place. It was a place where it had great industry and a great civilization. It had much, and God was saying, hey, I want you to go to this other place. I want you to leave your family. I want to leave everything you know behind, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you. And that's what you see up here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4 on the screen there. The Bible says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in he shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, isn't that some wonderful promises that God says? If you're willing to step out, Abraham, and leave everything you know behind, and leave your country, and leave your family, and go to a place that I will show you. He doesn't even tell him where he's going. He says, this is what faith is into. You're having a faith, and you're believing in something you've not seen. And you're saying, okay, God, I believe in you and what you have said. And God offers in these promises. In verse number 4, it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. This is the most important part of Abraham's journey of faith, is obedience. It starts right there. You say, okay, I have faith in God. I believe in God. Do you really truly believe him? Do you really truly believe that he is the one that created the world, that he controls all things, and that he knows our every thought and our every action? Do we live our lives living a life of faith? Because if we live our lives believing that God is in control and God knows what's best for us and God has everything already orchestrated for us, as we follow through in this journey of faith, as the choir sang, the steps of a good man are ordered, Lord, as we follow God, it begins with obedience. That's what you see in verse number 8 and chapter number 11 of Hebrews. It says that he obeyed. It said he obeyed. That's where it all starts. Christian, if you really want to make a difference in the world that we live in, you have to be obedient. You think about it. Abraham left everything. He left his family. He left his business. He left his inheritance back there that his father would have given him. He left everything to go to a place that he had never, ever seen. Can you imagine? Imagine what it was like when you're packing up. You got your friends and your family coming over and saying, Abraham, you're leaving. Where are you going? He says, I don't know. He said, Abraham, what do you mean? You're going somewhere you don't even know where you're going to? And what he was saying is, the one true living God spoke to me and told me to leave, and I'm following after him. Can you imagine the laughter that was probably behind closed doors? People maybe mocking him, people thinking, it's crazy for you to live a life like that. How in the world could you go? The point is, what God is asking Abraham to do is to believe in an unbelieving world. What God is asking and telling Abraham to do, he says, look, and you remember back in the Ur of the Chaldees where he was living, they worshiped idols. They worshiped false gods. They didn't believe in the one true living God. And Abraham, what he was offering was a journey of faith, and this journey entailed and God asking him to believe in an unbelieving world. See, God deals with us the same way. We are surrounded by people who do not understand or maybe don't believe the same way, but God wants us to have faith. Even though those around us may not have faith, he wants us to obey in a world full of people who are disobeying him. People not only do not have faith in him, they actually speak out against him. They actually mock him at times. They actually totally ignore him. But we are called. We are called to live by faith. And if we're going to live by faith, means that we need to be obedient, believing that he is the one that can reward us. And he is the one that can take care of us. Abraham made a difference in this world. You say, Pastor, what type of difference did he make in this world? Well, through Abraham, we see God calling him, making a nation. And through Abraham, we see him bringing the line of Christ. If we go back to the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, on that day, God promised them a redeemer. God promised them a savior. And the world still turned out to be wicked. He destroys the world with the flood. And even after that, the world still turns out to doing wrong and worshiping false gods, as we saw in the Ur of the Chaldees. And then even after that, God says, I found a man that I can bless. He calls him out of this nation, but the only way he can bless him is if he's obedient. Christian, I believe the first way that you can be a man of faith or a woman of faith is by being obedient. Now, you know, it being Father's Day, make application to the men or the fathers in the room. Are you being obedient today? You know, Father's Day is the day that we should honor our fathers, and we should try to encourage our fathers. And maybe not just the fathers, maybe the other men that have maybe stepped into the role of being a spiritual leader or a spiritual father in a sense in your own life. But you know how you make a difference in someone's life, fathers? Is by being obedient. Are you being obedient to God? You know, we believe that if God is the supreme ruler of the universe and that he is someone worthy of our faith, it begins with worship. You can force somebody, and you know this as well as I do, you can force and you can browbeat, you can push somebody to being obedient to you, using punishment, using other type of different things to try to force someone to live for you and to obey you. Well, what God is seeking is one of worship. If you go back in the story of Abraham, every time he got to a new place, you know what he did? He built an altar. He went somewhere else a little bit farther on. He built another altar. And then he built another altar. Why do you do that? It's because he believed in God. And that worship and that faith translated into obedience. Second thing I want you to see, not only did Abraham's faith cause him to be obedient, Abraham's faith gave him a new outlook. Abraham's faith gave him a new outlook. Let's look here in verses 9 and 10. It says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. So he left where he was at, and he's sojourning in a land as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now look at verse number 10. It says, for he looked for a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Skip down to verse number 13. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. Now here, when we look and we live our life by faith, we're going to have a whole different outlook. When you go out and you try to be obedient to God, you try to live for God, and you try to do what's right, you know what's going to happen? That's going to change your outlook on life. You know, so many of us today live this outlook, and we're all interested in this world here today. The only thing we're really interested in is what we can get here, what we can accomplish, what we can accumulate, what we can build up for ourselves and for our families. But what Abraham is saying here is Abraham, he was obedient. He left this place. And you know what? He dwelt in tabernacles. That meant that it was a dwelling that would move all the time. Didn't have a home of his own, per se. Didn't have established roots. And he left, but he had this outlook. You know what? He was always looking to the future. He was looking ahead. You know, he never even received the promises that God had given him, but he looked to the future, to what God was going to work and do. One preacher illustrated this way, and I thought that was good. He talked about how he was going to go to a hotel for a couple nights, and before he got to the hotel, he called up the manager, or called up the owner. And he said to the manager, the owner, he says, "I'm going to go stay in your hotel for 2 days and two nights." He says, "But before I get there, I want to do something to the room. I want to take out the old carpet and put in new carpet. I want to take out the old bed and put in a new bed. I want to take the smaller TV and I want to put a real big TV in there. I want to take out the normal bathtub and put in one of those jacuzzis in there. I want to remodel the whole room because I'm going to be there for 2 days." He says, "And when I leave, I'll let you keep it." What would the owner or manager say? "You're crazy. Why in the world would you invest so much for something you're only going to stay such a little bit of time at? You're wasting all your money." When you think about it, it's the same thing here in this world. We are so interested in digging roots here, but in all reality, we should be preparing for heaven. I mean, we are so interested in getting acclimated with this world and having things and possessions, we could care less what we're building up treasures in heaven. We're so interested in fitting in, acting like everyone else, dressing like everyone else. But if you go and you look here in this story, Abraham, what was he happy with? Abraham said in the end of verse number 13, he confessed that he was a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. If you really want to make a difference in this world, you're going to have to learn that the love of the world should not be in us. The Bible even tells us, "Love not the things of the world, neither the things are in the world." It tells us that we need to act and live a life that we realize this is not our permanent residence. This is just a place where we're passing through. Just like that man, he was saying that just for two nights I'm going to be there, but I'm going to change everything just for that short stay. It's ridiculous. And Christian, it's ridiculous when we give so much thought to this world and we want to drive our roots so deep here that we think we're going to stay here forever. Yes, that's not the case. They're going to have it. If you're going to have Abraham's faith gave him a new outlook. Walking by faith will cause all of us to recognize that children of God are just pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're just passing through. If we begin to live by faith and believe that God is going to someday, when we die, go to heaven, we spend eternity in heaven with God, then guess what? We should change the way we look at things. We shouldn't be trying to store up treasures here in this world. We should be trying to store up treasures in heaven. We shouldn't be trying to live our lives to please ourselves and others. We should be living our lives to try to please God. That's what a life of faith is. And you look at these verses in 13 and 14 and 15. Look at verse 14. He says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." They are looking for a better life. They are looking and waiting for better things. They weren't looking for today. They're in verse number 13, you see the phrase, "But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Fathers, what type of outlook do you have for your family? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not being critical of people that try to live a life here and try to provide comfortable things and try to provide things that are good for their families. The Bible speaks about taking care of our own. I'm not saying that at all. I think you understand what I'm getting at. But the point is, when we live our lives totally for the things of this world and here and today, we have the wrong outlook. But if we're going to be like Abraham and we're going to live a life of faith, and that faith is going to cause us to be obedient, and as we're obeying God, we're going to see that our outlook should be totally different. It's not about what I can do here. It's not about what I can accomplish here. It's about what I can do for God. And my life is not wrapped up in this world and the things of this world. My life is wrapped up in looking ahead, keeping my eyes looking for the future, looking for the day Jesus Christ comes back, keeping my eyes looking ahead for the promises that he's given me. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob never got those promises. They were always afar off. But if you look here what it says, it persuaded them. They embraced those promises. They confessed because they embraced and persuaded them. They embraced them, and that caused them to confess, hey, I'm not living for today. I'm not living for here. Hey, you can have all the stuff you need. You can do whatever you want here, but I got a higher calling. I have a higher purpose. I'm looking for a better country. I'm living for a better world. And that's for what God has planned for me. And you see what it says in verse number 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. You know, we need to have a different outlook. We need to start looking at things through different lenses, through different views. And if we're going to be men and women of faith, boys and girls of faith, you know what we need to do? We need to have a different outlook in this life. It's not about the sports titles I can win. No, there's nothing wrong with playing sports. No. Should you do the best you can? Yes. Should your life wrap up into it? No, it shouldn't. It's not about having the biggest house, not having the best car. Your outlook in life is, what can I do for God? How can I serve Him? And you say, Pastor, who looks at it that way? People that are people of faith. The type of people that God can bless. The type of people that are difference makers in this world. They're going to have a different outlook. They're not going to look to try to build you here in this world. They're going to look how they can build you up in spiritual things to be able to be successful with the things of God. Now, you think about it here, what it says in verse number 15. It's saying that if Abraham would have been mindful of the country that he left, you know what that means? If that's all he thought about. If he thought about, man, I remember what it was like back in the Ur of the Chaldees. I remember what it's like having my family around me all the time. I remember what it was like, that old job. I remember to be able to be located in one spot and have one place and be able to be successful there. And if he kept his mind thinking about that all the time, you know what would have happened? He would have went right back to it. Christian, if we're going to have a different outlook, our lives are going to have to change completely. Not only are we going to have live a life of faith and be obedient, but our outlook's got to be, I'm not living for me. I'm not living for here. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through this world. I'm looking forward to the day that God returns and takes me home. I'm looking for the day that I get to spend eternity in heaven. My mind is on heavenly things. My eyes are focused on Christ, and that's where I'm headed to. But I think many times us as fathers and us as dads and us as husbands, just men in general, we're focused so much on the things around us. Our hearts and minds are not focused on God and the things of this, things to come. But if we're really going to build something, if we're really going to make something that makes a difference for God, our outlook's got to change. Our outlook can't be here. It's got to be afar off. And that's what we should be looking at. So if you really, truly want to be a person of faith, first, you need to be obedient. Secondly, you need to have a new outlook. Thirdly, I think this is the hardest one for me. It says Abraham's faith required an offering. Abraham's faith required an offering. And this morning when we think about this, how did Abraham get to make a difference in this world? How did Abraham was able to be used by God? Because when he called out of that country, God knew that he was going to be someone who was going to be looking afar off and was going to be living for the future and was going to be living for him and was persuaded and embraced these things. And he had a different outlook than what other people may. He wasn't like Lot that had to worry about the things he saw in Egypt and had to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. His focus was going to be having a faith and believing in God. Here, Abraham's faith requires a sacrifice. Look what it says in verses 17 through 19. Verse 17 says, by faith, when he was tried, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You know, most of us know the story that God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, hey, I want you to offer up your son. He wanted to offer Isaac up as a sacrifice to him. You see what it says in verse number 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall this thy seed be called. Now, it was not just offering up your son, it was getting rid of everything that God had promised. See, God had promised him that he would have children like the stars and like the sand. He would have his lineage, his kids, his family would be as innumerable. And that Jesus Christ was going to come through that line. But Isaac was the only one he had. Isaac was the one that was the promised one. You see in verse number 18, it says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. They knew that if Isaac was gone, he was cut off forever. Everything was gone. everything he had put his faith and everything he had put his trust in, the leaving of his homeland, the looking and spending his life, looking past everything of this world and looking to God, being the friend of God, having faith in God. All this was tested because he knew if Isaac died, it's all done. And Christians, sometimes this is what God wants of us. He wants us to be willing to offer anything that he calls for. Now, God did not ask Abraham to offer Isaac until he was older, until he was near the end of his life. See, at the beginning of his life, more than likely, Abraham probably wouldn't have done it. He was learning, it was growing. As he became a man of faith, and that faith caused him to be obedient, and as that faith caused him to have this new outlook, God comes to him and says, the Bible says he tempted him. Now, he didn't tempt him to do evil. He tempted to show him and demonstrate to him how great his faith was. God, in his foreknowledge, knew exactly what Abraham was going to do. God, in his foreknowledge, knew how Abraham would react. He was showing and teaching Abraham that Isaac was not the most important thing in his life. It was God that was the most important thing in his life. And God did not ask him until it was later on in his life, because God's not going to give you anything that you cannot handle. God will not test you what you are above what you are able. What you need to understand is that in Genesis, God is once again encouraging and inviting him in that faith, that journey of faith. If he exercises his faith, it will strengthen him. If he exercises his faith, it will give him the opportunity to be a blessing, not only to himself, but also to those that come behind him. And you say, Pastor, you keep on talking about Abraham making a difference. Who did he make a difference in his life? Well, you think about Isaac. He made a difference in their life. And we don't have time to go through the whole entire story, but think about it. Isaac was not some little boy back then. If you go back and you study history and you see history, Isaac is probably sometime between the ages of 30 and 40. There are some that even think he was probably the age of 33 because he was a type of Christ, and that's when Christ gave up his life for us. And that what Abraham was willing to do, he was willing to surrender everything to God. He was willing to offer that sacrifice. But I think this is where many of us struggle. I think that many of us like to think that we're obedient to God. We're here. We're listening. We read our Bibles. We pray. Maybe we even think that we look right, or we dress right, we act right. We follow some list of rules and think that that's going to accomplish something for God. Don't get me wrong. Standards are important, but worshiping God is being obedient out of a loving heart towards him. And as you worship him and are obedient to him, you're going to have a new outlook because you want to live for him and serve him. And as God comes to you and speaks to your heart and says, this is what I want, that's the offering that God is asking for, to teach us and show us that he is more important to us than anything else. But this is where we struggle. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to have to sacrifice. It's many times not even the most meaningful things that God asks for. It's those things that hold us away from a closer walk with God that God asks for sometimes. It's the insignificant things that we are not willing to yield to the Lord. It's those insignificant things that we've gotten so accustomed to and gotten so used to that we say, oh, God, why would God want that anyway? But that's what God wants. Those things that we do not think we need to give up. What kind of Christian life are we building when we are willing to give up so little to such a great God? The truth is, if he were so truly great in our eyes, we'd be willing to surrender, we'd be willing to yield everything to him. The truth is, if he were truly great in our eyes, we would be willing to surrender and yield anything to him. Today, if there is something in your heart and your life that you would not be willing to give over to God, that is the thing that God wants. He wants you to love him. He wants you to respect him. He wants you to see him. And he wants you to be obedient to him. Remember, it goes back to this, a life of faith, seeing God for who he is. Believing in God means that we're going to obey him. And as we obey him, it's going to give us a whole new outlook. We're not going to be looking at the things of this world. We're not going to be trying to accomplish things in this world. We're not going to be worrying about what we ourselves can gain and what plateaus we can reach and what things that we can be notified about, what things we can be praised about. Instead, our outlook is going to be looking to God and the things that please him, the things that are going to encourage us to do what's right and be blessed by God. And then we're going to be willing to pay the sacrifice. Abraham was willing to offer his most precious, most endearing, most beloved son. what faith he had. Abraham grew. He had a clear vision of God, an exalted vision of God. Abraham received peace in this trial. The trial ended when he submitted. And there are so many times when we struggle. There are so many times when we fight. There are so many times when we worry. There are so many times when we fret. But there is peace found when we submit to God and be willing to offer him whatever he asks for and be willing to offer the sacrifice. Christian, do we really want to be people that make a difference? Making that difference means we need to be people who are obedient. Making a difference means we need people to have a different outlook. But making a difference means that we don't mind offering God whatever God wants us to offer. Is there something today that we need to look at? There's something that we're holding on to. I know I've used this as an illustration before, but when God was working on my heart and God was cleaning things up in my life, probably about the age of, 27, 28, I'd gone back to Bible college. I knew that's what God wanted. And he came to me, he said, Brian, we're on first name basis. He said, Brian, he said, there's something in your life that you love. And that was sports. And it was a downfall in my life. Is there anything wrong with sports? No. Is there anything wrong with watching the Pittsburgh Steelers? I certainly hope not. But he came to me, he says, I want this. And I told you before, for a year. Now, is that significant? Does that have anything to do with the job I'm doing? Does that have anything to do with really the future? Does that have anything to do with how well I'm going to raise my kids or how, no, it was something insignificant. At least it should have been insignificant in my life, but it became significant. And for a year of my life, I gave up sports. People thought I was crazy because of how much I used to love it before. He says, well, why don't you watch this or that? You know what? The Lord wanted something. And when I became obedient, when I had a different outlook in my life, I was willing to offer the sacrifice. You want to know why? It's because he had the right spot in my life. I had faith in him. He was God of my life. I wanted him to be Lord. My faith was in him. I was being obedient. I went back to Bible college. I wanted to do things that God wanted me to do. And I was willing to have a new outlook. I was willing to change things. I was willing to give up my life to go into a ministry. I was willing to do whatever it is he wanted. And then he says, this is what I want. But Lord, it's inconvenient. Lord, I really enjoy this. Lord, this is the time I spend with my friends, and this is the time I spend with my family. This is the time that I enjoy. This is the me time. This is mine. Why do you want that? It doesn't have any variable or anything. Well, you know what? It did have the fact that I love that more than I love God. And he showed me that. And when he asked me for that, I said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, if I really truly believe in you, if I really truly have faith, then I'm going to be willing to give that up too. If he is God, and if he is truly great in our eyes, we should be willing to surrender and yield anything he wants. You might come to this question. You might say, how in the world could God ask Abraham to give up his son? And it actually is a type of Christ. You know, in that verse up there, it says his begotten son. And there's another verse in the Bible that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's a type of Christ that Abraham be willing to offer up his son Isaac, his only son. But most of us know the story that when he got up there and he put the knife up getting ready to kill Isaac, because you go verses down, he believed that God was going to raise Isaac up from the dead. Once again, another type of Christ, because what did God do? He raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. It's the same story. He's showing a picture of what's going to happen in the future. He's showing that through Abraham, the line of Christ, the Christ was coming through that line, and that he was going to die, and he was going to raise again. And what he showed, what God showed to Abraham that day, was that you love me more than you love your son. And what we need to understand in our lives is because of what God did for us. So you say, what did God do for us? Well, God sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, what salvation means is that we recognize ourselves as sinners and that we understand that because of our sin, we're eternally separated from God, that we cannot go to heaven. We're on that pathway to hell that we talk about so often. And the only thing that can take us off that pathway to hell is when we ask Jesus Christ by faith, believing in him, to come into our heart and save us, and putting our faith and trust on this completed work, what he did on the cross, how he died, and then he was buried, and how he rose again. And that's how a person can be saved. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. But and if you've never been saved, come forward. We'd love to have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. But I don't want you to miss this. God at the beginning came over to Abraham here and said, Abraham, I got something for you. I'm inviting you on a journey of faith. Now, before you can get all the way over there where you have the faith to offer your only begotten son and put so much faith and trust and love in me, there's something you got to do. You got to be willing to obey first. How about it, Christian? I know that we like to be on the Mount Moriah tops. We like to see God answering our prayers. We like to see God blessing us. We like to think that we would be willing to give anything up for him. But it all starts over here. Are you willing to obey? God says, Abraham, I want you to leave. Not only do I want you to leave, I want you to leave your kindred behind. And to be honest with you, he didn't follow God's command completely. We see one of the great things about Abraham we see in his life, he slipped a couple of times, and once he repented, God was able to use him. He spent some time with his father a little too long. He brings Lot along with him. You know, he was supposed to leave his kindred, but we saw what happened there. The Lot thing didn't work out all that great, did it? And you continue on seeing, but as he becomes obedient, as he begins to worship, as he begins to follow him, as he begins to look, he's willing to leave behind his country and willing to live behind his kindred. And he gets to this place in his life where no longer is he thinking about his former country, no longer is he thinking about himself. He's thinking about the promises that God has given him. And he sees that country afar off. He sees what God has planned. He sees the purpose of his life. And he's not worrying about the things. His eyes are turned now and they're focused. He has a different outlook. He has a different reason for living. He has a different reason for being here. It doesn't matter if he has tabernacles. It doesn't matter if he has to move his tent every once in a while. It doesn't matter if he has to dig a new well every time he comes. It doesn't matter if he has to build a new altar. His object and his passion in life is to live for God. And as he comes, he keeps on going, and his outlook has changed, and he's living for God to the point where God comes to him and says, okay, Abraham, let me show you. He says, I want you now to offer up your son. That's the man of faith that he was. That's the God that worked in his heart and his life and showed him that his passion wasn't for himself. It wasn't even for that little boy he waited for over 100 years. It was the relationship he had with God. So today, Father's Day. Men, husbands, fathers, are you being obedient? Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, the father, they call him Father Abraham over and over in the New Testament. But he was known for being a man of faith. It starts back here with obedience. It changes when you're willing to take your outlook and say, you know what? My life is not about myself. My life is living for God. And it goes and finishes up when you say, I'm willing to offer and sacrifice anything that God wants. How many of us can say that today? I can almost guarantee you there's probably something in our hearts and lives that we could use a good time to think about and consider that, am I willing to go all the way for God? Abraham was. Out on that top of that mount, he was willing to do anything for God. And that's where God wants to get us. But where does it start? And maybe some of us need to say, you know what, there's some things in my life I need to be obedient about. Maybe you're in the spot in your life, you know what, I'm obeying God, I'm doing the best I can over here, but my outlook really isn't that good. There are some things I need to change. And you know what, down there are some things that I need to sacrifice. And to be honest with you, most of them are insignificant things. Now, Isaac was not insignificant, but it might be some sport, it might be some hobby, it might be some overtime at work. It might, you know, to be able to do the work that God wants us to do and accomplish things that God may, might be a friendship. It might be, I don't know what it is, but you know, I don't have to tell you what it is. God's already spoken to your heart about it many times. And it's not just about the fathers and the men. Ladies, it's the same journey of faith. Sarah was right beside him. Sarah did laugh. Sarah did, but the Bible says by faith, God gave her the strength. She was the one, and believing it's so much easier to take that walk of faith when there's a woman beside you that's willing to walk in that same faith. Let me encourage you, ladies, if you have a husband who loves the Lord and wants to do what's right, encourage him with that. Love him. Be thankful for that. It is a treasure. And children, teenagers that are in the room, if you got a parent that wants to live godly, don't fight it. Embrace it. Help them to understand that they're looking for the future. It's not for today. But as we close, how's your journey of faith going? Are you being obedient? Have you changed that outlook? Are you willing to pay that offering and that sacrifice? What is it in our lives that's holding us back in our journey of faith? Let's go ahead and pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, go ahead and raise to our feet for a time of invitation.